Welcome back into Sports Talk. We're going right out to our guest line where Greg Allman, who covers the NFC South for Fox Sports, joins us. Greg, how you been as we're winding down the final preseason game upon us and the regular season getting oh so closer?
Yeah, it's nice to have it so close where you can count the days now. Regular season, you know, whatever it is, 15 days. I guess 15 days we'll have a game to watch on TV, and then everybody else gets involved, 18 days now, I guess. Nice to have it so close.
And, you know, Greg, it's amazing. Look at the NFC South, the NFC doubt. I mean, you look how – I remember one time the NFC East was the NFC least, but I'm looking at the NFC South right now. Is Kirk Cousins that much of a difference maker from a national perspective? I guess he is. It looks like Desmond Ridder was that bad. Because you look at the weapons they had on offense and the expectations for Atlanta right now, considering now they, you know, this is even before they got Justin Simmons or they got Jadon, you know, from the Patriots to rush the passer. This is even before the Falcons are going to win the NFC South. And I've always been a Kirk Cousins fan. So I'm not against Kirk Cousins, how he's better on himself. And now, we don't think, even if Atlanta has success, that they're representing the NFC in the Super Bowl. But is Kirk Cousins that much of a difference maker? And I don't know. He seems like he came back from his Achilles, but have we seen anything from him in a Falcons uniform?
No, not yet. And he's not going to play this weekend. So, I mean, you really won't know what you have there until the opener, until the Steelers are there on the other side of the field. It's interesting in that obviously the odds makers are putting a huge premium on what he brings and what he adds to this team. If you look at the over-unders, they're about two wins higher than the rest of the division right now. And that's after they finished third last year.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, if you watched the Falcons last year, they were a team that got nothing from the quarterback position, you know, had lots of promise elsewhere, but just didn't have that. So I totally get why they went and I honestly got two quarterbacks and not one, but
right.
why this national perception is that he solves their problem. And having a new coach and a new quarterback is a lot in terms of the national perception of a team. You know, I think there's people that don't look much farther than who the coach is and who the quarterback is. And if you're looking at that, they're a world different than where they were with Arthur Smith and, you know, whether it was
Desmond Ridder
or Taylor Heineke or Marcus Mariota. They've had a long 2 years from the quarterback position. But again, what we don't know is if Kirk Cousins is the same Kirk Cousins he was a year ago. You know, if he comes back, he's 36 and he's coming off an Achilles, and that's not a good combination. If he can be the guy that, I mean, Kirk Cousins played like an MVP until he got hurt last year. If he can be that guy again, there's no telling how much they can get. You know, you think about three top 10 draft picks in Bijan Robinson and Drake London and Kyle Pitts that they really haven't got very much out of. So if having an elite quarterback allows you to have those guys look like the draft picks and the stars they were supposed to be, that can be a big difference, you know, and it doesn't solve their pass rush. It doesn't solve questions about their defense, but I think they'll be a much improved offensive team. I just don't know if this translates to them running away with the division the way some people think they will.
You know, the rivalry between Atlanta and New Orleans and very college-like, SEC-like.
Yeah.
And you look where the Super Bowl's at, you know, Saints fans, the Who Dat Nation, to this day, they still think, oh, well, the NFL didn't want us in the Super Bowl to win because it was in Atlanta. They didn't want that. Well, you look, ironically, this year, look at the expectations with Atlanta, the Super Bowl's in New Orleans. Well, I know
That's
Saints
right.
fans, they do not want Atlanta to have that most success and have a chance to win their first Super Bowl in the backyard. Now, I still think, when you're looking at the NFC, you know, you look at the 49ers until someone beats them. You look at the Lions, Packers. I think the Eagles might bounce back. I don't know if you agree with that. But I still think the NFC South, whoever wins, whether Tampa Bay is able to do what they've done in the past, that they can be, you know, host a playoff game and win one like Tampa Bay did last year. But no one realistically thought, even though when they beat the Eagles, that Tampa Bay was going to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. Now, they were very highly competitive, fought hard, but that wasn't a vision that you thought, oh, well, Tampa Bay is going to represent the NFC against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think if this division even got a team in the conference championship game, it'd be one of the bigger stories of the year. I mean, people look at this as still being the weakest division in the NFC and really battling with AFC South to the worst division, period. You know, I mean, it played out in terms of the records last year. I think the whole division can be better. I mean, obviously Carolina can be better. You know, I think the Bucs have largely the same cast, but they could be better. Saints. You know, I think Saints will be hard for us to be too much better, but they can be better. And Atlanta, obviously, after you know, they've been 7-10 for 3 years in a row, so they can definitely be better. But yeah, I think right now the aspiration should start for any team in the South: win your division, win a playoff game. Anything more than that, and you'll be one of the better stories that the people are talking about across the country come conference championship weekend.
You know, Greg, I always look at different players, and if you're a pro and things don't always go work out your way, how you handle adversity. I look at Baker Mayfield and how he's believed in himself. I mean, here you following the NFC South and you covering all the teams and looking what occurs. To me, that's a great accomplishment because no one really thought post-Tom Brady that Baker Mayfield was going to play that well and Tampa Bay would just win. I mean, and win the NFC South. How did you view that? Because no one was saying, oh, for sure, watch out for Tampa Bay and Baker Mayfield. No one was saying that.
Well, like you mentioned, Bobby, they got a good start to the season now facing two rookie quarterbacks in the first 3 weeks.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, a year ago, he was just winning the starting job, you know? I mean, he didn't necessarily come in as the obvious starter over Kyle Trask here, you know? So to think about where he is now, this is his team, you know? It's his picture up on the side of the building, on the stadium. He's got a $90 million contract. You know, it's neat to see. And that he bet on himself, you know, I think he, you know, in free agency, it's not an easy thing to take over a team from Tom Brady. You have to be really confident in yourself, not only as a quarterback, but as a leader. And that's kind of who Baker is. I mean, I think he knew he was in a bad place, got hurt at the end with Cleveland, got pushed out there. Obviously didn't work in Carolina, didn't really have much with the Rams. You know, so comes Tampa, it's his fourth team in less than a year, which is crazy. But I think he, you know, managed to earn the respect of his teammates. Wasn't amazing, but played well. I mean, he led that team to more wins than Tom Brady did his last year. So now I think he's a reason for confidence. I think him coming back, you know, their whole thing this offseason was just bringing everything back. So Mike Evans comes back and Lavonte David comes back and Antoine Winfield and Tristan Wirfs. And there's some people like, wow, was that team so good you wanted to bring everyone back? And they feel like it is. I mean, most of the guys they brought back were the core from that Super Bowl team, which is just, you know, just 3 years ago.
Yep.
And now, you know, you add some of the new pieces. Obviously, Baker's a new piece. They like what they have, and I think they kind of like not being respected, still being seen as an outsider and not the team to beat, even though they've won the division 3 years in a row.
You know, Greg, I'm not being a homer with this, but if the Saints could do this again, you have a fighting chance. And it could be the same song and dance where, I don't know, I'll look at 9-8, 8-9. To me, that's the same. But how do you get to double-digit wins? I think, you know, you can look at different – when you break down the season in quarters. I look at the Saints had a chance to be 3-0. We're beating the Packers 17-3 with 12 minutes left in the game, and we lost. I mean, I'll look at that. But I look at these areas. You look at scoring offense, scoring defense. Now, you might say some of the scoring offense was garbage points, but they were 23.6 points a game, which is 9th best. But scoring defense, and with Dennis Allen. I don't know if Dennis Allen worked out as a head coach, but I think very similar to Wade Phillips or Vic Fangio, he's a defensive coordinator. He always have a job. Yeah. He knows defense. Now, they only gave up 19 points a game, which is 8th best, and then plus 11 in that turnover margin, which was 3rd best. So I'm thinking if the Saints do that again, they'll have a chance. Does that mean they're really winning anything? No, they'll have a chance. It might be hovering around 500 or maybe getting to 10 wins. But they definitely under the radar when you look at Vegas and you say, well, take the over instead of the under. But they don't have to invent a chip on their shoulder. It could be like, hey, we just got to go out there and do it. So that's why, I mean, people might say, oh, the Saints are going to win 4 or 5 games. But the one thing what's interesting, Greg, is they can win 2 out of 3 phases. The Saints, very seldom, they always have a top 5 special teams. And their defense, top 10, if not tied 5, you know, they can get after the quarterback a little more with the sacks. And the offense could be just don't turn over the ball. And if you're winning, I don't know if it's ugly this day and age, if you're winning, I don't know, 17-13, 20-17, or 23-20, so what? That you're not crushing anyone. The bottom line, you just got to win. So I think the Saints have a chance in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about the offensive-defensive ranks. So there's 5 teams in the NFL last year that finished in the top 10 in scoring offense and scoring defense. four of them won their divisions, and the fifth was the Saints. You know, so I think they had the formula there. It just didn't add up to, you know, if you get one more win, that's not a tie with the Bucs. That's a division title. We have a whole different conversation about the NFC South right now. And instead, you know, I think they got a big win late, like you said, that win scoring 48 against Atlanta,
yeah,
especially
in
a rivalry
that,
game.
Yeah.
It helps them a little bit. I think they were like 19th before that game.
Yeah, yeah.
And it pushed them into the top 10. But they're still there. It's still at the end of the year. They're top 10. I think the big thing for the Saints is just the start of that schedule is so nasty.
Yes.
Obviously, you get Carolina in week one. That's a game you should
win. You got to win. You have to win.
The next five are nasty
tough
stretch of teams. I think it's Cowboys, Chiefs, Eagles, Bucks, and Falcons. I might have the order wrong. But they could be a good team and only go 2-3 in that stretch. They could be a good team and go 1-4 if they don't play well. And now you're in a hole. Now you're 2-4. You got week 7. You got Sean Payton coming to town on a Thursday night with the Broncos. That's another game they got to win.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important for this Saints team to not dig a hole early and not be sitting at 2-4 or 3-5. If they can do that, the schedule helps them out later, and they'll be better off for it. To where you start getting two with Carolina and you can sweep those and stuff like that.
Right.
But I do think it's really important that they not let things get away early, because if they're 1-5 or something like that, then you worry they're not even going to stick with the staff and stick through the season. And then things are rebuilt all over. If they get through that early stretch, that's as tough a 5 weeks as they have all year. They get it in the first 6 weeks of the season.
You know, Greg, and I've said this, go back to Jim Martin, all we were playing. When you look at a division, we used to be in the NFC West with the Rams, 49ers, and I don't know why Atlanta and New Orleans in the NFC West. There's nothing west about New Orleans and Atlanta. But, you know, again, it's like that being Stanford and Cal in the Atlantic Coast Conference. What? So,
right.
So anyway, with that being said, though, looking at the NFC South, and I say this because it's a rivalry. It doesn't matter how good the Falcons or the Saints. We're going to sweep them. Now, you might sweep them, but always take the approach you're probably going to split.
Yeah.
So, now, can you sweep one opponent? So I'm thinking, like, okay, the Saints, we got to get off to a fast start. You beat Carolina. Can you sweep Carolina and maybe split with Tampa Bay and Atlanta? Then you 4-2. Now, ultimately, you want to be 6-0 or 5-1. But 4-2 to me is realistic. And that,
right.
You know, because it's a rivalry-type game. But I look at the question I have for you. I'll look at Carolina that I don't think they've leaps and bounds. They've grown this much. Oh, watch Carolina. You know, a lot of people say they could be better than the Saints, like with Bryce. I mean, I look at Bryce going to training camp with his backpack. It looked like he was going to 10th grade or something. I mean, he looked little. I mean, now you could be little and still be a stud, but I just don't see Carolina turning it around that much this year. What is your take on them?
I think they'll be better. I think they could be, if they got to 6 wins, I think I would consider it a big step forward and moving in the right direction for Dave Canales and Bryce Young, making sure he makes it clear that he's the guy. Because there's definitely a window where if they're not to 5 or 6 wins, and if Bryce doesn't take a step forward, they're going to have another high draft pick, and they're going to be tempted to take another quarterback. So, I mean, the biggest thing I think for Carolina is get to where you're competitive in games, get to 5 or 6 wins. I think Canales is fine. I think they're smart enough not to fire another coach in the first year, just because no one's going to come to them and even think of them as an option if they're burning through coaches the way they are. But I think the biggest thing is a referendum on Bryce Young. And he's got a lot more around him this year. They put $150 million into two guards, traded for a receiver in Deontay Johnson, put their first 3 draft picks into offensive skill position players that'll help them. So I think a year ago, as much as Bryce struggled, he didn't really have a lot of help anywhere around him. Probably the worst passing downfield offense in the NFL. They'll be better this year. I don't know if that translates to being anything but fourth in the South, but I think if they just get to, let's say 6-11. It's not a pretty record, but it's so much better than 2-15.
Yep.
And now, if you're 6-11, a year from now, you can start talking about competing for a playoff and being a competitive team and a relevant team nationally.
Well, Greg, before we let you run right quick, who's your dark horse? I'm just not even the NFC South. I'm looking at, I don't know, I figure either the Bears or the Commanders might be relevant. I don't know if both of them, But I'm big LSU Jane Daniels fan. But Caleb Williams, I think either the Bears or Washington, I think they're going to be in the postseason, one of those teams.
Wow, that'd be impressive. Washington comes here to Tampa for the opener, so I'll get to see Jaden Daniels up close and personal week one. I don't know if Washington can turn it this year. I think Chicago, if you had to pick one of those two to surprise and get to, whatever, 9 wins and a wild card, I think Chicago could do that.
Okay.
Three really good receivers there now. They've upgraded their defense. That would be fun to watch. I don't know if Washington is that close. I don't know, dark horse in terms of picking outside the box, something like that. I think Houston's going to be really good. I think they're going to be the team in the best position to challenge Kansas City and come out of the AFC. I think Cincinnati will be back to being the team they were 2 years ago when Burrow was healthy. So those two are the two I think about on the AFC side as being the team's best equipped to not make it a three-peat for Kansas City. And then on the NFC side, it's hard. We talk about, the NFC North is probably the toughest division on that side. We talked about Chicago getting better. Detroit will be better. Green Bay, I think, Jordan Love continues to improve. Minnesota's probably the one team there that's taking a step back. I don't know how the East shakes out. There's so much on the line in Dallas in terms of the futures of three huge players in Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons. They could all come together and win a division championship and they all re-sign. Or they could go 8-9 and McCarthy gets fired and all three of them sign somewhere else in free agency. So there's so much on the line there. But no, I think, like I said, Houston's kind of the one team that's caught my eye as maybe being elite and at the top of things right there to challenge the Chiefs.
Greg, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. And for our little trip around the division and more, appreciate you.
Thank you, Greg.
All right, you guys take care. Have a good night.
Greg Allman, who covers the NFC South for Fox Sports. You can check out his work there.